All right.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Ooh-wee. Here we go. Yeah. Ooh-wee.
Ooh-wee.
Ooh-wee is right.
Hot. Super hot.
Super hot.
This episode is about to be super hot.
Yeah.
It's going to be wet.
It's going to be hot. Wet.
Musty, if you will. Steamy.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be
moist.
Fight. It's going to be fight talk.
I know that's probably making
that's
you
what
moist.
It's going. That's what it's going to be like. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like a sweaty wrestling match. That's what this episode is going to be like.
That's how hot the content is and how hot it physically is.
Wow. I didn't expect this episode to start like this.
We only have honesty right now. That's how hot
it is. That's how hot it is.
Only have...
It's pretty hot in the studio right now.
We had to address the reality real quick.
It's hot in the studio because it's hot in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We're in Vegas. It's starting to heat up.
We're not even in the max of the summer and I'm over here glistening.
Look, I'm dripping. We just started the episode.
Yeah.
So it's about to be a...
This will be the record. We're probably going for the wettest episode.
This might be the wettest episode. It's going to be fight talk, though.
All right.
We're going to be strictly, because there's so much stuff to talk about in the fight world. Might as well dedicate.
Yeah, have an episode.
Dedicate an episode.
Plus, y'all know we were waiting to get into it.
And we did take another little hiatus, I mean, we are the hiatus bros.
We're doing them, and you just for extra variety, we're changing up the size of hiatus.
Yeah, you expect it by now.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that bad this time.
Especially because you've accepted it now, so this is perfect.
So, I think let's start back at a heavyweight championship match. UFC.
Heavyweight championship, yes.
New heavyweight champion, Francis Ngannou.
Man, what a...
What a performance, eh?
What a performance. I mean, a pretty, I would say, a heroic showing by Stipe. But just a... powerful statement by Francis.
Yeah, you definitely gotta give Stipe credit. Like, he really, even though he never really got to work his game plan, he didn't just get barreled down like everyone else.
Mm-mm.
He did require strategy and game planning to beat him. Mm-hmm. Francis couldn't just come in there and run him down like everyone else and just get hit in the face. He had to strategically prepare for Stipe, which he did.
Yeah.
But it really, you have to give Stipe credit for that, for pushing Francis to that next level.
Yeah.
He even said that, I don't know if you saw that, after the fight, before they did the official announcement, when they were standing there, he told him, he said, thank you. He said, you brought the best out of me.
Wow, that's touching.
He said, you were a great champion. You brought the best out of me.
Yeah, I didn't see that, actually.
Yeah, so it goes to show that he could have never reached that level if it wasn't for the level that Stipe mm-hmm. was. And that's what I wanted to really... I don't feel like people... I don't want people to just forget about Stipe with this knockout, because it is easy. Because if you look how it instantly shifted to... John Jones and Derek mm-hmm. Lewis, and MMA is fast. Yeah. You get knocked out bad, you're a legend, all of a sudden everyone's kind of forgetting about you. But you gotta think that Stipe set the heavyweight division at a new level now. It's a new bar of skill that it's gonna take to be the champion. He was so good that it made a Francis Ngannou.
Yeah.
That who's gonna beat that?
Made a monster.
Yeah.
Do you think Francis Ngannou beats prime Brock Lesnar?
Prime
Monster Lesnar.
Prime Brock Lesnar as in his MMA career? Or prime Brock Lesnar as in his overall athletic, you know, career? Because remember, he didn't get into MMA until later in his career. He was kind of already past his prime.
Yeah, I wouldn't have called that the prime. So, let's say the prime of his athleticism more so.
I gotta say, I think it's possible. I think, yeah.
I was thinking that too.
Yeah, because he's dealing so much power with so much length.
He's a different kind of beast.
Francis... Brock can wrestle his ass off,
mm-hmm.
and he is a big enough, strong enough guy that he could really give Francis problems. I think in the wrestling situation, he would actually have Francis on his back. Not just on his hip, not just on his side against the cage like how Stipe was, but on his back. And that would be a problem for Francis. I don't know if he has any way out of that. He's too big. I don't think he has any jiu-jitsu skills.
I don't think so either.
So that could be a real problem.
He was working with Kamaru Usman, though. Maybe he's working on his wrestling.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, I think Brock is a different level of wrestler than Stipe, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
He's a better wrestler, and he's a stronger, especially in his prime, a much stronger man than Stipe. Much stronger.
And that's kind of the difference of how they're built. The strength is in everything that's being done with wrestling with Brock. The grip.
Yeah.
His throwing, his back.
At the same time, though, that's all he has. That's all he has.
True.
And if he gets hit,
that's his main game.
He, especially by that power, he'll shut down. That's what we've seen. Mm-hmm. If you can hit Brock hard enough,
very frazzled.
If you hit him hard enough, he'll be frazzled and he'll shut down. And that was exactly what happened with Shane Carwin.
Mm-hmm.
He just lost his game plan because he tasted that power and he was like, oh, fuck. And I believe that Francis hits harder than Shane Carwin.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love Shane Carwin. That was my favorite heavyweight at one time.
Yeah, I remember. I remember you also repeatedly beating me with him on UFC. Yep. With no mercy. Never felt like you were just...
Nope.
Tyrannically ruining the game.
Nope.
Dubs on dubs.
Dubs on dubs. Because so much power. But I believe Francis has more. And all it takes is just a clipping shot. Just a glancing shot. Don't even need to be a solid shot. Just one on the tip of your forehead or something as you're going for a takedown.
And just in case anybody was curious, it's with his kicks too.
Because look at how he got Kane. Body. People still try and deny that Kane got knocked out and that his knees just buckled. It's because they can't believe that the shot that touched him completely rocked him like that. Because it just barely clipped the side of his head and he completely folded. Kane Velasquez.
Crumpled.
Great chin.
Yep. Yep.
Folded with power. Stipe, great chin. Folded up like a chair, literally. Not TKO'd, like hit and completely put to sleep.
Did look like just a wall. It just was a wall that hit him.
Train hit him, yep.
The way it made his whole body move, not just his head. His head didn't just get rocked violently. Yeah. He was blown back.
How do you feel about... People are talking about... Because Francis said he would love to fight Tyson Fury. His goal is still to be a boxing heavyweight champion. That was his original goal.
See, it's still worth questioning.
Most people are saying, they're laughing, just like how they're saying with Conor, they're like, it's a joke to even consider he could beat Tyson Fury. That's what a lot of people are saying, boxing fans. They're like, it's a joke. I'm like, I don't think they realize just how big Francis is.
I don't think they do. No.
Because weight-wise, he's about the same size as Tyson Fury. He's not as tall, but he's about the same size, and his reach is the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nasty ass.
So, he could hit him. He could touch him.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Deontay Wilder. He could touch him.
And I mean...
And his legs aren't going to be tired like Deontay Wilder. That's a different kind of build. All his power is coming from his leg. Deontay is all up in his upper body. Yep. That's why he hung on him and wore him down. He is an MMA fighter. You can't use that hanging on him shit. He's going to throw you off of him.
Throw you off of him.
He's powerful as shit. And I was watching him on the Mike Tyson podcast, not the new one, but on the other one. Mike Tyson said he wants to prepare him if he ever has a boxing match.
Wow.
So I don't know. I got to say.
If Mike Tyson prepared him, I'm calling Francis Ngannou.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. If he's getting prepared by Mike Tyson and possibly by Teddy Atlas as well, I'm calling Francis.
I'm calling Francis.
Maybe you call me biased, but hey, call me biased then.
Because, I mean, Gypsy King's facing some monsters.
A very big fan of Tyson Fury.
Yeah, yeah. I respect the game. I really do respect the game. But that's the difference. I feel like Francis is eating his power. I feel like he can take one of those bombs, possibly.
Well, that's the part I disagree with. I do think Tyson Fury can hurt him. I think Tyson Fury can hurt him because Francis sells out on his punches. So if he sells out and Tyson counters him, he's going to run into a shot. It's not going to be about Tyson's power. It's going to be about the fact that Francis is running into it and Tyson is a big dude. So if he stiffs you as you're running into he's going to rock him bad. He's pretty big. And that's what surprises people is he stiffs guys as they're coming in.
Pretty smoothly, too.
Yeah. So I can see him hurt Francis, but I can definitely see Francis hurting him as well. People should not sell him short.
And because what I'm saying is I still think it's not going to be one shot. That one shot might rock Francis, but one of his is going to drop him.
Yeah, that's quite possible. The difference is the gas tank, though. Francis has a horrible gas tank, and Tyson Fury has a legendary one. At the heavyweight division, at the size that he is, legendary. Because he has a gas tank of a fighter like possibly Ali.
Yeah.
But he's like 50 pounds heavier.
Honestly, that'd be the definition of, as we were calling it, freaks. He's a freak.
Yeah.
Guess that's why I call him the Gypsy King. He's a freak.
Did we talk about the Fury and Joshua match on the podcast already?
No, I don't think so.
Well, it hasn't been officially made yet, but you heard him say that they're close. He's confident they're going to make a deal to fight. He says it's going to happen, and he's been training hard. He's training like he knows there's going to be a fight, so there must be a fight happening. They must be very close to terms.
Wow. I don't even know what to say.
It's gonna be basically the greatest British fight of all time, like in terms of hype and promotion and status. Mm-hmm. They're unifying the heavyweight championships. That's like one of the most prestigious things to do, and they're doing it as both British fighters.
Damn.
So it's creating a real divide because it's like, you know, one of the best heavyweights in the world is British, but the whole country is divided because some of them they're all on different sides, which kind of is cool because that's kind of like British sports, you know?
Yep. It's kind of just how it is.
But I remember watching that Anthony Joshua and Klitschko fight. I can't remember what arena that was in, that, you know, that big arena in England, I think. And when he rocked him, the crowd went crazy. That place started vibrating. Caught him with that uppercut, and you could tell Klitschko was about to go down. And Joshua was tired, but then you could see he just dug deep and he took off on him.
Yeah.
He just put him away.
I started smiling like, wow.
Yeah, because like, I'm not even British, but I felt like a pride. I was like, he did it. He did it.
That's, yeah.
And so
became British for a minute.
He did that, and then I kind of was like, that's the best British boxer. Like, at that moment in time, I was like, that's the best British boxer. And because at that time, Fury was still retired.
Remember, oh, yeah.
He had retired. But then Fury came back, and he fought Deontay Wilder. And he got not as close to out as you can possibly be. And then just out of nowhere stood up like The Undertaker.
Just resurrected
instantly. Just decided. He was just out, and he's like, all right, let's get up.
I'm out. Oh, wait, no.
Deontay Wilder was already celebrating in the corner, talking to his family. He was completely taken out of the match. He knew. He looked back. He hit him, and then he ran. He looked at him as he ran back to the corner. He was laying flat on his back. That's the sign of someone being completely out.
Just unconscious.
Then he looked back, and he was standing straight up. And he had to get back in fight mode. And then Tyson Fury actually started boxing him up. After getting almost knocked out, cleanly boxed him to the finish.
It's pretty legendary, honestly.
So then that's when I was like, I think he might be the best British boxer. So now they're going to settle it. And I gotta say, I'm leaning towards Joshua.
Really?
Yeah.
You saw his last performance?
Yeah.
It was pretty clean.
It was.
It was pretty clean. I got pretty hyped. Because, you know, it felt like it had been a minute since I saw him. And I am kind of a fan. I mean, I was kind of impressed with his work. So I saw that and I was like, oh, damn. All right, he's back. But I think it's gonna be Fury.
What's your call though?
Probably a decision.
Yeah. That's possible. I think they're both really good. It's gonna be really hard to get either one of them out of there. Yeah. And if it does go the distance,
probably gonna catch each other a couple
times. If it does go the distance, you're right. Fury does have a great gas tank. It's hard to beat him in a long fight.
That's kind of how he can, like, in a sense, adjust if things weren't going right at first.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I think I know what I need to do.
Yeah. But I see Anthony Joshua as he's very powerful. He may not be as powerful as Wilder, but he's very powerful. Like, you can't sleep on the level of knockout power he has. He did finish Klitschko.
Mm-hmm.
He put him away. He caught him late.
Pretty impressively.
Even when he was tired.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he was tired, he still caught him. So it shows that he has some great power. And he's more technical than Wilder.
Yeah.
The same strategies won't apply to him. He's built differently. He's built differently and he's more technical.
Yeah.
So Fury will have to be, he'll have to be on a better level, like on an even higher level, I believe, than he was against Wilder. He was on a very high level to beat Wilder, but you're going to have to step it up to another level.
Yeah.
Or else I think he's going to get caught because he fights with his hands down a lot. So when it comes to hands down fighter versus a very technical fighter, you got to remember they're both anomalies.
Yeah.
Fury is a hands down high endurance heavyweight. That's an anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
But Fury is also an anomaly because he's a clean textbook heavyweight. Mm-hmm. He does everything with crisp technique, which most heavyweights don't do. With power, though, he still has max heavyweight power. Who?
Fury?
Fury's 6'9".
6'9"? Oh, okay. I'm tripping.
He's 6'9", yeah.
But a 6'9" with speed.
Yeah.
Speedy hands.
And I don't think Joshua's reach is that short either.
Mm-mm,
Joshua still has a pretty long reach. So with the reach, with technical boxing, I do see Joshua catching Fury. He might not knock him on his butt like Wilder did, but he's probably going to hurt him bad enough to win some rounds.
Yeah.
And change up and force him to change his style. That's what's more important. If you can hurt someone, it's like what Mike Tyson said. Everyone has a game plan until they get punched in the mouth. If he can hurt Fury, he can force him to change his style, and that's where he can give him some openings to exploit. That's what I'm leaning towards with Joshua.
Joshua can start to, like, he kind of can start to succeed when he gets in a rhythm.
It's a momentum. So he builds momentum.
He starts getting off on him. That might be it. That could be it.
I can see him doing that, just building up round of round, building up the momentum and starting to land harder shots over time because he's exploiting those openings.
And because Joshua has a decent gas tank.
He has a decent gas tank, and he has power throughout the fight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, you're going to have to be weary of what he's capable of hitting you with.
Well, it might not be official, but I'm waiting. I want to see it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be excited for that.
I think, I don't know where we're at in the episode, but I think we've already hit the record.
For the wettest episode.
Wow. Hey, yeah.
Let's see where we are on the episode.
I don't think I've ever said my calf were dripping. If I just saw correctly before my screen cut off, we're at 20 minutes.
Okay. That's not bad. That's not bad.
It's pretty wet, though.
This means by the end of the episode? Like, I'm pruning. It's pretty wet.
I'm not there yet, but like I said, my calves are dripping. I'm covered.
Yeah.
my neck is
your neck is a pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a day pool.
Mm-hmm. You come hang out, have some mimosas.
On your neck.
On my neck. All right.
Speaking of necks.
Uh oh.
I was watching Cody Garbrandt getting ready for next fight. What do you see? I know you're a pretty big Garbrandt fan as well. What do you see for Garbrandt going forward? I mean, I know he's talked about going to 125.
Wait, isn't he supposed to fight Aldo?
Yeah, I think he is. Well, let's see. I'll check that out right now. If I don't drop my phone with my wet hands.
Yeah, please do, because I thought that's what me and somebody was talking about at one point, and I was picking Aldo. If it wasn't him...
You're picking Aldo?
If it wasn't him, I was picking Aldo. But yeah.
Very interesting.
I said that wrong. Even if it wasn't him, I was picking Aldo. Whoever the person was.
Let's see.
Man, I got sold on Cody pretty fast.
Fighting Rob Font.
Rob Font.
Yeah. So it's going to be a banger.
It's going to be a banger. I'm thinking Cody's going to win, though. I feel like he wants to come back and show, you know? Like, hey, remember, you gets no love.
I really want to see him fight O'Malley. If he wins this fight, I want to see him fight O'Malley. Yeah. They've been talking. They've been, like, they stay talking and chatting back and forth at each other. They want a piece of each other.
Man, that'd be entertaining.
Yeah, that really would be. Because,
And I can't yet say who I call.
Ridiculous reach disparity.
Yeah,
that's crazy reach disparity.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I know that Cody is packing a punch. And despite his reach, he always somehow knows how to land on people. He seems like he can land on people.
He can find that. He'll find that shot.
He can find a way to hit you. I feel bad for Cody because I feel like he kind of got robbed. He got robbed by COVID. He was supposed to get a title shot. He was going to fight Davison, Figueiredo.
Never know. He could have pulled that off.
I was picking him. I was picking Cody.
I mean, I was saying it like giving him hope. I was picking Davison. Like,
okay, because consider this. Who did Davison end up fighting instead of Cody?
I actually can't remember.
Brandon Moreno. How did that fight go? Very close.
Very close.
How much did Davison get hit? A lot.
A lot. Yeah, that's
Garbrandt, true. If Garbrandt would have been landing those shots, that wouldn't have went to a decision. That was not going to go to a decision.
Yeah, but...
If Garbrandt landed as many power shots as Brandon Moreno landed, that fight would have been over.
Yeah. But at first, he wasn't getting landed on. It was because Moreno made it. He kind of made it.
But that's what I'm saying. That was Brandon Moreno. That was not Cody Garbrandt. Think about how skilled and fast Cody Garbrandt is. That was going to be a different fight. If he was getting tagged up that much by Brandon, that's what I'm saying. He was definitely going to get cleanly clocked by Cody Garbrandt. He was going to get a power shot landed on him, right on his chin. And I really like Davison. He's a tank. But I do think that Cody would have dropped him.
He might have dropped him.
So I feel like Cody got robbed. He could have been a champ right now.
Might have been a little champ.
And now he's coming back to fight a really tough guy at 35.
Man. I do think he's going to get it, though. I do think he's going to get it.
I like Rob Font. I've been watching Rob Font for a long time. I like Rob Font, and I'm happy he's finally getting a big fight like this, and I think he's going to really take advantage of the opportunity. He's going to come in at the highest potential he's ever been at. And I think the problem with Cody is he has a tendency of underestimating almost all of his opponents. So if he underestimates Rob Font doesn't and takes Cody serious as the really great, talented fighter that he is, that's what normally happens is Cody gets caught. Because he underestimates guys who are really good like him.
And he's normally in the position of already having gotten confident.
And he has the reach disadvantage again. So
But I like, what I'm saying is, I like to believe, I'm thinking he's going to come back possibly a little bit smarter too. Possibly realizing, all right, look, that mental aspect matters too. So I have to come in fully focused and aware of every opponent, you know? Hoping he's coming back with the mental game.
I'm hoping so too, because I would like to see him get another title shot. I think he is, in the beginning of his career, I didn't have as much of a fondness for him. I felt like I hadn't seen him fight enough good fighters yet.
Yeah.
But now he's fought a lot of good fighters. He's lost a lot of fights that I felt he should have won, but what I do have to respect is his talent.
Yeah.
Because he has always looked like a great fighter, even against other great fighters. Every time. He's never looked like, oh, he shouldn't be in there with that dude. When he loses, every time he's lost, he should have won. It looked like he should have won. So I do have to respect the talent level. I would like to see him overcome his bad tendency of underestimating people and become the champion again. That would be a great story.
Because honestly, overcoming that bad tendency puts him at a different level. Kind of changes who he is.
Yeah.
Makes him a little bit more of
And because I feel like he kind of also got robbed by the system when he lost to TJ. Because I think TJ was most likely cheating when he fought Cody as well. So technically, Cody could have, you know. That's why I would, like, he does have a tendency of underestimating people, but he does seem to get kind of the short straw sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'm.
Between just a couple slip-ups that he's made in fights.
I can't cheer for either guy. Really, I've been following Rob Font. I'd like to see him get this big win, but I also like the redemption story for Cody.
But I'd like to see him pull it off. So who is Aldo fighting? I thought he was.
I don't think Aldo has a fight.
Really?
Nah. Don't think so.
Guess I'm tripping.
I'm not in a rush for him to fight. I'm in a rush more so for him to retire.
I feel like he might have one more.
If he does have one more, fight someone else within his age range. Fight, you know, rematch Frankie Edgar, or either I would like to see him fight Cruz. I think Aldo versus Cruz is the fight to make.
Aldo versus Benavidez.
Because they both are the ones who are like, they were legends at their weight class, but at this point in time, do they really have enough left to be the best in the weight class? Probably not. But let's see who has more. Who has more left out of the two legends? And their styles kind of, I almost feel like, negate each other a little bit.
I actually don't know who I'm picking.
Yeah, it's kind of a hard style matchup.
That'd be a good one, especially if it was the last one.
Yeah, that's what I think it should be. Because you got to remember, they were dominating their weight classes at the same time in WEC. Right at the end of WEC, neither of them would lose. They were just going in, dominating everyone in their weight class.
Yeah.
And then they were both the original champions of the UFC in their weight class.
Yeah.
They came in as champions.
That's crazy.
And dominated again in the UFC until injuries. Well, for Cruz until injuries, and for Aldo until McGregor. Aldo just was the weight class evolved around him. You can only dominate for so long.
How many more fights do you think Cruz has?
One. I think both of them have one fight left. That's as much as...
Wrap it up.
Yeah, wrap it up.
Performance was pretty clean that Cruz came off of.
Against Cejudo?
No,
what's that called? Oh, I didn't see that last fight. I forgot it.
Can't remember his name. Casey...
Yeah. I did hear he did well in that fight.
Casey King?
That's good. That's good, but at the same time...
Yeah, he came in strong, like, pretty solid.
Damage is damage.
That's true.
Even when your fight goes well, you can't account for the damage you took in the camp. Damage is damage, and he's definitely taken damage. We know the damage he's taken, so...
Most certainly.
And they're legends. That's the thing. I like to see legends go out strong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to see them go out sad. So I think they can still look strong against each other. I think if they go against anyone else, they're going to go out sad.
Yeah.
There's monsters now at bantamweight.
There's Cody, some beasts.
Cody Sanhagen, I'm buying in.
His name Corey?
Corey Sanhagen? I'm sorry if it's Corey. Sanhagen.
I'm sorry if it's not.
I know Sanhagen, though. And I'm buying in. I like what he's putting down.
Like what he's bringing to the table?
Because he's bringing to the table just pure fighting. He's not really talking. That's why people are sleeping on him. Because he's not saying nothing. He's just coming in and finishing people. Just stopping people. Fighting hard, stopping people, and getting, like, better with each fight.
I'm wondering how I know the name, but don't really know who he is.
Yeah, because he's one of those guys. He's not talking. Right, he's just fighting. He's just fighting and winning.
Wow.
He's grinding it out.
Well, I'm going to have to look into him, because I do like that style.
Didn't you see the Frankie Edgar knockout recently? No. The flying knee? He flying kneed Frankie Edgar into oblivion.
Wow.
Yep.
Killed him?
Eh, basically.
Wow. Frankie's probably done too.
That was the first round.
Wow.
It was right away. Got him.
Yeah, Frankie probably should be done.
But it's because there's monsters. Frankie still has, in terms of skill and athleticism, Frankie still has a lot left.
He can still go.
But there's monsters now. There's monsters now.
Multiple of them is the problem.
Multiple. And levels.
Levels. Monsters above those ones.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes their divide.
Even look at someone like Marlon Moraes. Marlon Moraes, not that long ago, was the Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's just another one of them. Another one of the top guys at bantamweight. I think bantamweight is the most... it's the most well-rounded division. Because you have to be well-rounded at bantamweight. It's not predominantly any one style or skill. Every top fighter has all the skills at bantamweight. It's not like the other divisions where there's specialists. At bantamweight, every single fighter has all the skills.
With a whole bunch of speed, too.
Yeah. And top-tier athleticism. You have to be a top-tier athlete at bantamweight. Everyone has top-tier athleticism and a well-rounded
skill set.
Everyone
at bantamweight, it's like they took their time and now are stepping out of the hyperbolic time chamber.
Yeah.
Coming in with just fury.
It's crazy. The sport evolves so fast. The sport evolves and you see legends fall from grace so fast. It's jarring. Look at what just happened with Demetrius Johnson.
Yeah.
I know you said you didn't see it, but wow, like, what do you think about that? I think he had 34 professional fights, and that was his first time getting stopped in 34 professional fights.
34 professional, wow.
And most of those were at the championship level, you gotta think. Almost like half of those were title fights.
A guy like him, you kind of feel like it makes sense that it took a chaotic shot. Kind of feel like someone had to catch him.
Yeah, it really was. Like, if he had just ducked a little bit to one side or ducked a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The knee would have went right over. But he ate that knee, and the guy kept his balance, crossed him off the rebound, and then hit that knee right on the ground like that. And you gotta think that probably played a part, that Demetrius is, most of his fights have been in America where knees to the head are illegal.
Yeah.
He was not braced at all. He ate the grounded knee fully. He wasn't braced. Had he braced, he probably wouldn't. He probably would have rolled with it. He probably would have went down with it. But he didn't. He didn't brace and he didn't roll. He just was like a lamb for the slaughter.
It's kind of like he took the Aljamain shot, but it was legal.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why Aljamain weighed in. He was like, it should be illegal across all sports. And what was funny was, Jan also weighed in and he was like, "Hey, that was a beautiful performance."
Wow, of course.
He's like, "That was a great knee."
Of course.
He's like,
"He's letting it be
known."
Wish
that went like for my fight. But
he's kind of a troll. It seems like he's trolling a little bit.
A little bit.
Slight troll.
He never smiles either, except for when he's hurting people.
Such an evil character trait.
That was so weird, though, after the fight when he was just still raising his hand.
Yeah. Weird is the right word, because that's how I just felt like...
He's like, nope.
You. I wanted to say you.
I still won. That's like a common trait now, is people just denying the L's.
It's because the level of competition and the level of, like, confidence that everyone's carrying, it's not balancing right. People are like, you know what? I won. I told myself I was gonna win. I won.
They're like, what's the most impressive undefeated streak in the UFC right now? Sober Paulo Costa, Sean O'Malley, Chael Sonnen. I chose Paulo. I think Paulo has the most sober Paulo.
Yeah, I guess.
Where are we at in episode right now? Because my eyes are getting a lot of sweat poured into them.
It is starting to burn.
Yeah. About to start crying.
35 minutes, sir.
35. I think we might wrap this one up soon.
All right. I'll power through it a little longer. Just going to go ahead and power through it a little longer.
Just, you know.
It is painfully tight. It wouldn't be right if we weren't in pain.
It is painfully tight. So let's,
if you got to scream a little bit or something, just know that that goes in with the theme of the podcast, honestly.
What we got?
We'll try not to scream though.
This weekend, I don't know if this podcast will be out before the fight, but we'll try. But this weekend we got coming up, Whitaker versus Gastelum.
Oh yeah, I'm ready for that.
I know for you, this is a big fight.
You're
a very big Whitaker fan, super fan, arguably.
Uh huh. But I am also a Kelvin fan.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those fights for me. Though I can weigh in a little bit more and say I want Whitaker. I am rooting for Whitaker. But I did what we normally do. We watch like a video of the fights.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm going to let the window down. Y'all might hear noises, but it's getting really hot in here. So I'm just going to have to let the windows down a little bit.
Alright.
Continue with your
at least you were professional analysis. Enough to let them know. Watching a video of both sides. Wow, it feels really good. Y'all understand how heated it got in here. Watched the video on both sides, both fighters, right? I started thinking, I was like, man, the way Kelvin can be at getting in on you because he knows his arms are short.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, man, I could definitely see that being a problem for Rob. I could definitely see that being a little bit of a hindrance.
Yeah.
Because he kind of gets right in there.
Because it hasn't mattered. His reach discrepancy has not seemed to matter against any of his opponents. He's been able to land that left hand from hell every time. Even against Adesanya, who had an amazing reach on him and is a master of using distance, he still hit him hard. Harder probably than anyone's ever landed on him.
Yeah. Zapped him.
So that's definitely going to be an issue.
It made his knees bend real quick.
It definitely is going to be an issue. You can't. Rob would be making a mistake if he didn't think it was going to be an issue. And that's been my question with Rob for all of his fights recently, has been his durability. Will he be able to stand up to the damage? Well, I've been betting against him for the last fights, and he keeps winning. So I'm just going to go ahead this fight. I'm picking Rob.
Picking Rob?
I really like Gastelum, too. I really like Gastelum. He's a dog. He's a dog, but he's not just a dog. He's a very skilled dog. That's what I like about Gastelum is, at his very core, he's a dog. He just wants to go in there and brawl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he's built so many skills around that foundation.
Yep.
He's built a lot of skills and
made,
I think, sometimes
pretty...
sometimes gets underestimated by a lot of his opponents. Yeah.
The style that he has, which is pretty, it's kind of own to him, you know. It's pretty cool. He made himself a threat.
Yeah. The number one thing though that I feel he needs to use a bigger part of is his wrestling. He's really fallen in love with being a striker.
Yeah.
He loves knockouts. He loves getting the crowd hyped and all that stuff, but I think at these highest levels, he has to use his specialties. He's facing guys who have advantages over him, so you have to use your advantages, which is your wrestling, your strength, your conditioning. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have to play more into that. You're playing into your disadvantages. Even though he's so good at striking, you're short for the weight class. Even against someone like Whitaker. Whitaker used to be a welterweight. But Whitaker is still longer framed than Gastelum.
Yeah. he's still gonna be at that disadvantage.
So I think he does have to implement his wrestling more. That's the same thing I said about Vettori in this last fight against Holland. I said if he's gonna win, he has to implement his wrestling, and he went out there and he put on a great game plan. He wrestled him. People have to remember, that's not a game plan you want to go out and do. It's not easy for you either. It's not easy for you, and it's not impressive. You don't get much glory out of winning that way. So some people like get upset when they see like Derek Brunson's strategy and Marvin Vettori's strategy against Holland, but it's like, he's dangerous. That's the strategy they have to use.
Yeah.
Because he has shown no ability to stop it. So you have to play to your advantages. If you're that much stronger than him and he has no wrestling defense whatsoever, you got to play into it. Why are you going to play into his hand, which is standing and banging with him, and he's got an 81-inch reach?
Yeah. Isn't there a phrase like, if you got it, use it?
Yeah. But yeah, I'm going Whitaker. Middleweight division, though, is kind of weird because...
Yeah, I'm going Whitaker.
No one really... It seems like they don't really want to push a Whitaker-Adesanya rematch. You know, no one's even talking about it. They're talking about Vettori versus Adesanya, but they're not even talking about the possibility of Whitaker or Gastelum. And I'm starting to feel like trying to protect Adesanya. Especially after seeing him lose to Jan.
Yeah.
They don't want him to go in there and face another really hard opponent.
He took the L, but they're like, all right, but the star power isn't
over. And he still has the belt. So they're like, okay, we're still safe. But I'm like, that has to be the title eliminator right there. Gastelum and Whitaker should be the title eliminator.
Yeah.
If Marvin, I know he beat Holland, but he didn't beat Till. He was originally supposed to fight Till. Had he beaten Till, I would have considered it. That's a big win. Holland, not as big of a win. He wasn't going to be able to just go and hold Darren Till down.
No.
Darren Till is as big, if not bigger, than him.
Probably bigger.
Nah, Vettori's pretty big.
Yeah.
Him and Costa are about the biggest dudes. He's about the same size as Costa.
Is he?
Yeah. They said his fight night weight is about 220 pounds on fight night.
Wow. Yeah, no, he is pretty big.
But I think Till is probably around 210, 215 on fight night. He's big. He's huge.
Yeah. Big man.
So if he had done that to Till, then I could talk about him fighting Adesanya. To me, I know he's on the win streak, but you got to beat a top guy first. Or you got to finish somebody. Mm-hmm. You can't win on a decision. You can't get a title shot on a decision. You got to finish somebody.
Make a statement,
yeah. You can't really make a call out when you, like, exhaustedly just, you know, grind it out Kevin Holland.
But I guess it's, in a sense, it's kind of like, all right, I didn't make a statement, but where's the other statements in the weight class?
That's the problem, is the middleweight is no one's making a statement. So to me, that's why this fight is the statement fight.
Yeah.
Because this is the highest competition. These guys both, okay, Whitaker was the champion and beat Yoel. Okay. Two wars with Yoel. Something no one else has ever done. No one's gone 2 5-minute or 5-round fights with Yoel. So he was the champion. He did defend the title. He just got cleaned by Adesanya.
Yeah.
So you got him on that end where he's definitely a proven top fighter, top contender. You got Gastelum, who in the middleweight division pushed Adesanya further than anyone's ever pushed him.
Yeah. Really.
Until this fight with Jan, no one had pushed Adesanya...
Took him to deep waters.
...that far. And he's significantly smaller. He's nowhere near the size of Jan. So...
He did that at a size disadvantage.
He showed that he's a proven top contender at the weight class. This is the real eliminator fight to me. But I think they're only going to really consider it eliminator if Gastelum wins. For some reason, it seems like they don't really want to promote Whitaker. I think it's because he doesn't talk. If you notice, he's like the least problematic fighter in today's age of constant bickering and social media fighting. Whitaker's like the only guy who's out here just like training and enjoying his life,
just doing the fighting aspect of it.
Yeah. and not taking it seriously. Not really taking it seriously, just going out there and having fun and trying to be the best.
Yeah. That's why I like Whittaker, man.
And I wouldn't mind seeing him get a rematch. I think, you know, this time coming in, might be a little bit more cautious. I think the nerves seemed to really get to him in that other fight. He seemed to come out a little bit overzealous.
Yeah.
And I think now he's grown as a fighter. I think that fight and this path back has grown him as a fighter. So I wouldn't mind seeing that, but I really would like to see the Gastelum rematch. Gastelum seemed to have a problem for Adesanya that he wasn't used to.
Yeah. But, you know, most likely Adesanya's going to come back stronger.
I hope so.
Come back on some
I believe so.
Crazy stuff.
I believe so.
He might come back in untouchable mode. Like, all right, that's not happening again.
Never letting that happen again.
Never Again by Disturbed is going to be playing. That's going to be his new walkout song. He's really owning it. Like, it's never happening again.
But at the same time, it could be that he's about to have this same phase that a lot of great strikers or dynamic strikers go through, being exposed on the ground. He had always had good takedown defense. But if people now start figuring out how to get in on his hips and get him to the ground, it might be a problem. Because he has been exposed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seeing with Holland.
Eye-opening performance that Jan put on.
It's like what we're seeing with Holland. It's like what we saw with Silva. It's every dynamic striker has this happen to them when they get exposed. And it's like, okay, where's your jiu-jitsu at? Are you still dangerous on the ground or you have no threat on the ground?
So you're a martial artist but not a mixed martial artist.
Got you.
Alright. Cool.
Yeah. Middleweight division is interesting. I think that's why they're not really talking about any title fight. Because they won, like I said, that loss was kind of, I think, jarring for them, the way Adesanya got beat like that.
Yeah.
So they want to let that kind of wear off a little bit, and in the meantime, have like some title eliminator matches. I wouldn't mind seeing Derek Brunson versus Paulo. Wouldn't mind seeing that fight.
That's a good one right there.
But I do think Derek Brunson's going to get blown away.
Probably. Yeah.
Paulo is really strong. I don't think you're going to be able to wrestle him up like that. It's going to be really hard for you to wrestle him up like
that. Damn, man.
And he's going to be swinging on you, too, as you're trying to get in. And Derek does get clipped. He's bad at avoiding getting hit while wrestling.
I would say that's his biggest flaw, kind of.
Yeah.
That's kind of his thing.
Yeah. It happens every fight. And most of his losses have been because of that.
It's happened in some of his wins, which lets you know it's like, hey, man.
Yeah. But a win over Paulo, Derek, I think, might finally have argument for title shot.
He's like, all right, come on.
It's kind of cool, though, because it's cool, but also kind of not cool. Because Adesanya's beaten a lot of the contenders already.
Yeah. Because what I was just about to ask was, what's your thoughts on if the very time where he's reached his way back up, Adesanya still right up there. What's your thoughts on that rematch? That run back? You think Brunson's like, all right, let me adjust.
Because of that flaw.
Yeah.
Because of that weakness.
If he can shore it up, that'd be quite impressive.
And Adesanya is the best at exploiting that weakness.
He'd have to put in a lot of work to try and not have that hole get poked into.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So it's interesting. It's interesting. The middleweight division is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It's really ran by the lower weight classes these days. It's really ran by that.
It's pretty entertaining down there. It's crazy down there. It's
I know we don't talk about Muay Thai a lot, but you watch that Rod Tang match.
Right? Yeah.
Rod Tang versus Daniel Williams. That was a great fight.
That was crazy. I was not, like, it looked weird because how we were just looking at Rod Tang and saying, like, wow, who's stopping that?
Yeah.
What do you need to, like, combat that? And he kind of showed, he's like, this is what you need.
Yeah, you have to stand your ground. You gotta stand your ground and make him respect you too.
Mm-hmm. You better have something for him.
And he did. Rod Tang finally, like, actually reacted to strikes.
In the end, he was turned into a kind of a war.
Yeah. It does take a certain amount of toughness to be able to withstand the pressure, though, of Rod Tang.
Because he's doing it for the fight. Yeah. That's the thing about it. All right, so I'm doing this total fight, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
For most dudes, it'd be like, just hope you can make it through. Just hope you can make it to the
end. One of the most impressive things to me about Rod Tang is that he adapts his tie with the MMA gloves so well. No one really considers that. Like, he fights very traditional with the MMA gloves, though.
Yeah.
He still makes the traditional game work, and that's not easy to do because there's a lot of, like, shelling and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's because he's also, like, both durable and not afraid to take
a punch. Yeah.
Kind of makes sense. I feel like the MMA transition for Rod Tang could be pretty strong. Could be. With the right adjustments, right team.
Yeah.
Could be pretty strong.
Yeah, and he is super young, too. That's what's also crazy. He has so many fights that he's so young. Fight game is just, it's wild. It's wild one right now.
Mm-hmm. Are we leaving out any... Were we saying something about women's fights? What were we saying again?
Did we talk about those? I think we talked about them last time.
Did we?
The Zhang.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Willie Zhang.
We're here trying to make it deja vu on the podcast.
Yeah, those are going
to
be some big fights coming up. We also announced some more fights coming up. Chan Sung Jung versus Dan Ige.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a banger.
I'm going to pick now. That's how confident I am. I'm going to pick Ige.
He is on a roll.
He's on one.
He's on a roll of destruction.
He's on one. I went ahead and bought in already, so that's why I'm putting in my chips. Just going to go ahead and say it.
Yeah.
Dan Ige. I'm buying in early.
Who was Chan Sung Jung's last fight against?
He won, though, didn't he? I'm pretty sure he's coming off a win.
No, it was against Ortega. Got worked.
Oh, man, nope.
Got worked.
Yep. Got worked.
He did get worked, but I've noticed some with Chan Sung Jung is hard for... He never gets worked, like, twice in a row. He normally bounces back. He normally comes back and goes hard.
Because can't let it happen.
Yeah, because he knows he's like, hey, all right. But that's been the problem with him lately is he goes, like, he wins one and he loses one. He wins one, he loses one. He looks impressive, then he gets knocked out.
He's not keeping the momentum.
So right now he's like, what's going to happen? Is he going to finally get more wins in a row or is he going to take two losses in a row? And I'm feeling like he's about to take two losses in a row. I think I'm picking Dan Ige as well. Because he has... He has a lot of power. Like, this isn't even his weight class. He shouldn't be at this weight class, but he's sleeping featherweights.
That's part of what helped me buy in, because I was thinking about it. I was like, he ain't supposed to be at this weight class. He's over here bombing on dudes.
Yeah. And
with one-shotters.
Yeah. Chan Sung Jung has really been in a lot of wars at this point. He has a great chin, but that's a lot of fights he's had where he's been just taking bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And then, especially the Yair Rodriguez knockout.
Yeah, no, there's no way. Bad. That was
horrible.
Violent.
That was, I mean, to me, it's kind of miraculous that he's still been fighting and taking great shots after that. I thought his chin was going to be gone after that fight.
I was at work holding a flatbread pizza, and right when I saw it, I almost dropped my pizza.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I screamed, oh.
He got his jaw got demolished.
That was pretty
And then he just just fell asleep, just forehead right to the ground.
That was real bad.
So, I don't know if he can take these Ige bombs at this stage of his career.
Nah, man. Well, nah, because when he gets caught, it's normally coming in.
Yeah.
That's kind of how Ige will get you a lot of times.
Well, and I do think that Ige can take the Chan Sung Jung power. Ige seems to have a pretty great chin.
Yeah, yeah.
He's fighting dudes are way bigger than him. Like, the fact that he went, like, 3 hard rounds with Edson Barboza is crazy.
That's not how I thought that fight was going to go. But, yeah, that's saying something. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think that's, that's about it.
I think that's yeah.
I mean, there are some things we didn't get to, but I think we'll get to those in the next episode.
If we paced a little differently, we could have, because we were talking off the podcast, but we didn't get to talk about Conor and.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what you were thinking. Well then.
Brought it up, so let's talk right. about it.
Let's talk about it. You're in GK now.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it then.
Do you, what side do you land on? You land on the side that you sympathize with Conor?
Not really. Kind of feels unfair. Kind of feels like he did Dustin a little bit dirty.
Yeah.
And, as much as I like Conor, I am about the right thing. I'm about doing the right thing. Despite what, you know, some people may think.
Yeah, like, I do feel like it's kind of being taken worse than what it is meant to be taken. Like, what he said isn't as bad as how people are making it seem. Like, he didn't just straight up, you know, like, say that he wasn't going to give him the money. He was still leaving it open, like they were still going to give him the money. He was saying that he just likes to be very cautious about where he gives his money to and where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of low-key acted like Dustin and his team were going to steal the money. And I think that's why it's being taken very badly. Because, like, not only did you not give the money, but you're doubling down and you're accusing Dustin of possibly trying to steal the money from you as well.
Damn.
So it's like, that's what's making it have a bad look.
Yeah, that is going to give it a different aspect. Yeah.
I think he shouldn't have came out and said that. But at the same time, I do feel that there's a little bit of mental warfare being played right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's coming from Dustin's side, and I think it's working. I apologize for that plane flying over. Like I said, it was getting hot in here. I had to lift the windows down. But anyway.
Drying off a little bit? A
little bit. Feels a lot better now.
It was kind of like a little adventure. We gave you a very wet episode.
A tropical adventure. Yeah. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
To finish my point on that, it is a bad look. It is a bad look. I know one side is saying we never got the plans, which is Conor's side, and then Dustin's saying we sent the plans. No one ever responded to us. But when it comes down to it, I think it's all part of the game. It's mental warfare, it's promotion for the fight. And at the end of the day, I don't think Conor minds the way he's looking. At the end of the day, I think Conor can live with if people think he's a bad guy or if he doesn't really, you know, care about kids, because he does a lot of charity. That's one thing I do know about Conor McGregor, is that he does a lot of charity behind the scenes, though. And he does a lot specifically for kids' charities. So I know it's not about, when people are making all these jokes and these memes about him not caring about kids, it's not really about that. Now, it is kind of dirty the way he's doing his dealings with Dustin, But yes. I don't think it has anything to do with his feeling about the kids themselves. Mm. He just is like, you know, he's probably upset about getting his ass beat.
Probably.
Yeah, most likely he's upset about getting his ass beat and wasn't in a rush to really give this nigga extra money for whipping his ass.
Yeah.
He didn't expect to lose.
But of course, the narrative tends to get skewed.
Yeah, and because people are overly sensitive now. But Dustin's smart because he knows that.
Yeah.
He knows that, and he used that against Connor. So, hey, nice play on Dustin's behalf. But either way, the memes are still funny.
Yeah.
The memes are hilarious. And I think it adds another layer of entertainment to the fight.
The third one might be the best one.
Yeah, I believe so.
Might just be an iconic fight. And honestly, not too solid on my pick. I have to give it a little bit of thought. I was, until I wasn't.
Well, right now, I'm solid, for now. Normally, for me, I start losing stability as the fight gets closer. But for now, I'm solidly picking Connor.
Wow.
To win. I think your first fight back in a long time, you're going to be rusty, and he was. And most times, fighters, that second fight back, they look way better. And I think the fact that his second fight back will be against the same person is a bonus to that looking better. You're fighting the same person back to back, so you're going to have double the experience freshness in your mind.
Because the loss is going to stay in your mind anyway. But then now, it's refreshing because you're like, all right, now that's what you're studying. Yeah. That's what you're really on.
Yeah.
To go and get that one back. So, you got a point there.
I think both guys come in at their full potential this time. I think the reason we saw the result we did that time was because one person was at their full potential and one person was at their, like, semi-full potential. Connor was at his full potential for a boxing match, not for an MMA match, but for a boxing match.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we see him at his full potential for a mixed martial arts contest this time, and you see the real result, which is most likely going to be a war when they're both in at their full potential.
And did you say he's going to finish him with a head kick?
He predicted a front kick.
Wow.
A front kick to the face. That's what started this whole thing. He made the prediction for the fight, and then Dustin called him out, and he said, nice prediction. You also predicted a donation, which was brilliant. That's what sparked this whole thing.
That's kind of legendary.
It started all this mess. What's funny is people were giving Connor credit for it.
Yeah.
A lot of Connor's fans, like, they don't know how to react. I think this is the first time they're seeing Connor kind of get owned a little bit in a public sense.
Well, I feel like that's the thing about the Connor fans. The level that they're bought in at, they were gonna not know how to react.
Yeah. Yeah. They're sprinkled.
I thought this couldn't happen.
It's not happening. It's not happening.
No, it can't. It's not.
In their mind, this is Connor stirring it up, creating chaos. But I don't think this is him. I think he's getting caught in the chaos right now.
But of course, no, Connor fans aren't.
Yeah.
Not the ones of that level, at least.
That's going to be here in Vegas, too, and it's going to have fans. T-Mobile Arena with fans.
That'd be pretty cool.
That's the other reason I'm picking Connor. I think that plays a factor in it that aids Connor, is having a crowd.
That'd be pretty cool, though. Connor gets it back in Vegas. He gets it back in the place that he kind of was really winning over, making his second home.
Yeah, with fans, with crowd. That's the way he fights, is with people there.
It'd be pretty storied.
Yeah.
Be like, wow, look at that.
And possibly starts in another run for his career.
Yeah.
A lot of people will hate it.
They come
I personally would love it. But
That,
I think,
that, that, yeah.
think that wraps it up.
That was a solid day. What y'all can do is you can go in the comments and let us know how you feel about us actually being on the topic. Keeping the format.
Yeah, we stayed on the topic of fighting.
Yeah. Pretty smoothly, brought it right to you.
Yeah. I know a lot of our listeners and a lot of our, specifically our followers on Twitter, are MMA fans. So
yeah.
that's what I wanted to focus on more. I actually want to start doing this regularly.
Yeah.
So what I think we're going to start doing is having a separate playlist of fight talk videos.
That way you can get exactly what you want.
Yeah, that way you guys can cut straight through all the goofiness. If you just want to hear the MMA stuff, you don't have to sit through our goofiness. Because we know we can get a little crazy sometimes. Yeah. We can get a little off handle.
Probably more than a little. A lot of times we're giving you things that you might not have even, you didn't come here for. You're just coming, yeah. You're hearing them because there's something you're waiting to get to.
And so I just want to say that's one thing we're going to be changing. And I do have some other ideas coming up. So stay tuned. Stay following our social medias.
Yeah.
So you can make sure you keep up with these updates.
We're switching. The transition is switching from hiatuses to fresh concepts. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. Fresh concepts delivered in hiatuses.
It's probably going to disguise a hiatus, but you'll probably catch on. Yeah.
You'll fuck with it.
You'll fuck with it. Don't worry.
So with that being said, make sure you're following us, though, mm-hmm. on Twitter, mm-hmm. at Painfully Tight, Instagram, at Painfully Tight. And might as well just go ahead and bookmark our website, too.
Yep.
Just bookmark it.
It's all the same. I believe in Spanish, son mismo. All the same.
All the same.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to follow us individually,
I'll stalk a little bit.
Yep. I'll be at The Love Doctor on Twitter.
Giving you it's pretty frequent content. He's getting a little more frequent with it.
Not really. I just surprise you. I surprise you with wild tweets, wild thoughts.
Steady retweets.
Yeah. Wild thoughts. Like, isn't that a Rihanna song?
DJ Khaled.
Yeah, DJ Khaled.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, another one.
Another one. There you go.
And then where can we find
you? Trying to get at me. Fresh music coming out, by the way. The third concept.
Oh, yeah.
The third concept. That's what it's called. You're going to want to be on my SoundCloud for that. But I will be. This is the first time I'm releasing it on SoundCloud and YouTube at the same time.
Oh, nice.
We're keeping it real this time. YouTube, Black Cash. And then SoundCloud, you might not be thinking it, Black Cash. Only difference is SoundCloud, you're going to want to go ahead and throw an underscore in there. Black underscore Cash. That's how you're going to do it. That's how you're going to find me. YouTube, you can go ahead and just Black Cash. You're going to find it.
Regular Black Cash. Mm-hmm,
regular Black Cash. It's like, I have another alter ego, but that one, the only difference is just an underscore.
It's Cash Verse.
It's Cash Verse. Some of them are pretty similar. They seem like there's no difference.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really hard to tell how many different ones they are, because they all seem pretty similar.
We were not varying that much. It's kind of a format.
Yeah.
But you liked formats, so you're going to visit those links, Black Cash. Twitter, same thing actually, but then you're going to want to throw in a dollar sign, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to want to throw in a dollar sign, and that's the other variant. So there, I guess there's three then.
Yeah.
And that's how you get me.
And weren't you saying that you want people to send you more pictures of their assholes?
Oh, not at all.
Weren't you saying that? At your Twitter?
That sounds like something I don't want.
Well...
Sounds like something that if it happened once, it's gonna ruin my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang. Hopefully no one does that now.
I've been realizing lately that, yeah, please don't. Yeah, we should probably cut the show just so no one gets the idea to.
Yeah, with that being said, let's just go ahead and wrap this episode up.
Yeah, let's go ahead and. That's not the. All right, goodbye.